This is Susie Larson. I want to thank you today for downloading this podcast from Live the Promise. I do hope you enjoy it. Thanks also for your continued support of Faith Radio. I want you to know you can donate anytime by clicking on the Support Faith Radio tab. Have a great afternoon, and God bless you. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson here with Tim Marks on the board, Gracie on the phone lines, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Welcome to Live the Promise, a very happy Wednesday. I paused for a minute. Happy Wednesday to you. It's a beautiful day out there. Really glad you tuned in. I am excited about today's show, and I know I say that a lot, but every time I say it, I mean it. But this is one that's going to be good, Tim. We had a great prayer time prior, and our whole heart, the topic is men, and our heart is to call them up, to invite them to an adventure of faith, not to pound them down. And you and I were talking even before the show, where else are they going to get encouragement and blessing? Men get a bum rap on every front nowadays, wouldn't you say?
Yes, and particularly in the media. It's just it's amazing the way men are portrayed, and you know, the bumbling, stupid, and never know quite what to do.
Yeah.
And that's not the way it is.
No, it isn't. No. It's not the way God designed them. And, you know, whenever we started, a couple of years ago, we started Live the Promise, we had 18% listening to Faith Radio overall. We have over 60% male listenership now. Mm. And a lot of men listening to Live the Promise. We love that. And so we purposely try to pick topics that speak to both men and women. And sometimes we zero in on one and the other. Even though we're talking about men, this is for women, too. I learned so much from Patrick's book, Man Alive. And he's our guest today, Patrick Morley. We've had him on before, and we had such a great time. We wanted to have him back. His book, again, is Man Alive, Transforming Your Seven Primal Needs into a Powerful Spiritual Life. We'll get him on in just a second. I have two quick announcements for you. I mentioned this yesterday, but if you live in the Twin Cities and you're free this Saturday and you're not a dude, because it's for women, for girls, I'm speaking at the Wooddale Church's Women's Spring Brunch. And so that's this Saturday. You can go to Wooddale's website and find that out. And then next Tuesday, this is really important. If you've got a heart for justice, if you want to see human trafficking come to an end and slavery come to an end, you know about International Justice Mission. You know that my husband and I, and Troy and Sarah Groves, are co-chairs for the benefits that we have in town here for IJM. We're flying someone in from Washington, D.C. IJM is hosting this great event. And guess what? It's free. It's next Tuesday night. And our own Neil Stavem is going to be one of the prayers. It's free, but you have to come by invite. And so here's how you do it. If you want to come next Tuesday night, it's going to be this really powerful night, go to my Facebook page on the events page. There's a link there, and you just fill it out. But you have to say who invited you. Just put my name in there. I want you to come as my guest. Love to have you. My website, or my Facebook page, I should say, is facebook.com/deeperlifeinchrist. And it's more of a casual night. Usually we have these really nice sit-down benefits. Well, this time it's in a vintage movie theater. We're going to see a reel. It's called The End of Slavery. We're going to have some music, inspiration. It's going to be a powerful night. It'll just re-engage your heart with God's heart for justice. So that's next Tuesday night. Okay, as I said, we're talking today about the heart of a man, about God's love for men and his invitation for men to really be all that he created them to be. So let me tell you about our guest, and we're going to get him on the show. Patrick Morley, the author of 18 books, is best known for writing The Man in the Mirror, which is, listen to this, sold 3 million copies and is considered one of the most 100 influential Christian books of the 20th century. Every Friday morning since 1986, Pat has taught a Bible study for men, which is now webcast to 5,000 men meeting in small groups around the world. He's also hosts a daily radio show that is carried on 300 stations, and he and his wife have 2 grown children and live in Winter Park, Florida. We're honored to have him back with us today. Patrick, great to have you back with us. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you, Susie, and good afternoon, everybody.
That's right.
So, it's a great day.
Yeah, it's going to be a great day, and we're looking forward to this conversation. As you know, we start out our interviews talking Scripture, and you chose a great one, John 15:15. I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you're my friends, since I've told you everything the Father told me. Talk to us about that passage.
Well, it has a special meaning to me. Every morning, I basically do the same thing. I begin the day, and I first talk to the Father. I say, Father, I come to meet with you, and I pray that you would meet with me, your much-loved Son. Mm-hmm. And then I meditate on a few scriptures that are related to that. And then I do the same thing with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. With Jesus, I say, Jesus, I come to meet with you this morning, and I pray that you would meet with me, your much-loved servant and friend. And then I usually meditate on that verse, John 15:15. You know, I no longer call you servants because a servant doesn't know his master's business, but instead I've called you my friends. And So I say, I've come to meet with you, your much loved servant and friend. Well, just a few weeks ago, I was praying and I said, instead of saying your much loved servant and friend, I said, without thinking about it, your much loved friend and servant. And I was overwhelmed with joy that after all these years, the love, the grace, the compassion, the communion with God, subconsciously at least, is there's a little thing, it's flipped, that I'm actually the first thing I am is I'm the friend of God. And I'm a friend who serves him instead of a servant who happens to be his friend. Revolutionized my life.
Wow, that is so, so powerful. And this really, as I was praying through this show today and some of the notes from your book, I'm going to tackle some of the topics where you really dig in deep with men and really invite them to freedom, to break some of the generational strongholds and the sins, that the perpetual sins that keep them in bondage. And in fact, you know, I just read a tweet on Twitter. Jared Wilson wrote this: gentlemen, your manliness is not found in how much you can bench, but in where your faith stands in the midst of a seemingly impossible trial. And we're going to get there in our conversation, how we get to that place of faith. But if you wouldn't mind, give some backstory, because you talked about how your father, you know, really parented out of his own brokenness, which caused a real fracturedness in you and your brothers. Would you give a little backstory on where you came from and how it impacted you?
Yes. Well, first of all, my dad is a very sweet guy. He's deceased now, and I love him very much. And, you know, I came to learn that he really loved me. And when I was 47, he finally told me that he was proud of me for the first time. You know, he wasn't being mean. He just didn't know any better. He had never been trained himself. When he was 2 years of age, in 1926, his father abandoned my dad and his three siblings and mom. So my dad grew up in a home with a single mom. And she, you know, she did a great job. She did the best she could. But, you know, there are some things that a mom can go so far, but it takes a man to teach a man how to be a man. And so, I mean, you wouldn't expect, for example, a mother to say, "Son, I'm going to show you how to be a man. Now, come on, let me help you pick out something cute to wear to school." <You know? laughs> There are just some man lessons that it takes a man. And my dad didn't get that, and so he had to guess at what it meant to be a dad. Didn't work out quite as he thought, and so long story short, I grew up in a home where we did not have a lot of physical or verbal affection, and a very moral home. And my parents, we went to decided to join a church to try to get some help for their four little boys. I'm the oldest of four boys. And the church we went to just didn't have a vision to disciple my dad. There were no men in the church who saw this rookie dad and husband and with these four little kids coming in and glancing at each other knowingly, knew what to do, and then took my dad under their wing and mentored him and discipled him on how to be a godly man, husband, and father, which is why I came. And so he really never got what he wanted. And so I quit high school. My next brother, he followed in my footsteps. He died of a heroin overdose. My next brother struggled with drugs and never held a job for more than 6 months until he was 50. And then my youngest brother is divorced, a recovering alcoholic, and a hermit, like a real hermit. And so, but my dad just never saw it coming, you know?
Yeah, and I appreciate the grace that you gave him, and you really delve into that in the book, and that there is a point, we have to look at the impact of maybe parental wounds we have, but we have to stop blaming other people, too. We've got to get to a place of our own repentance. So we're going to get into that in a little bit, but how prevalent do you think the father wound really is among men today?
Well, it's pretty broad, and it's getting broader, unfortunately. I was just reading the U.S. It was the New York Times a few weeks ago, that now 50% of all 50% of all children born to women under the age of 30 are born out of wedlock. 50% of women of children born to women under the age of 30. So I think, you know, it's crisis proportion. Let me give you an anecdote. So my friend Jim and I go to lunch and a movie every Friday. and we go to different restaurants, and we build relationships with the waiters and waitresses. And, you know, we don't, when the time is right, we begin introducing spiritual themes. You know, we don't go in the first time and say, well, I'd like a hamburger, and do you know Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior? You know, we don't violate the process of relationship. So there's this one restaurant where we've been building a relationship for about a year. And a couple weeks ago, I just felt prompted to say to this young woman who is 26 and has a four-year-old and is divorced, I said, I have been married to my wife Patsy for 39 years, and I love her more today than the day we got married. Susie, you know what she said? She kind of knitted her brow, and she said, do you really mean that? And, oh, just in a God flung open a spiritual door the width of a garage, and so I went ahead and went through the door. And it's funny because my friend Jim, when she said that, he said, yes, he does, and I do too. And so then that got her into this thoughtful stage, and so she was reflecting how she had grown up in a Christian environment, but she had strayed away from all of that because when she was in high school, her father had an affair and her parents divorced, and then she got married, and then her husband betrayed her. So here's a young woman with two betrayals, and so can you blame her for being suspicious about the viability of marriage? And that's a huge issue. And so just where's all this going? Where's all this going? By the way, I do think that, although time will tell, I just had the strongest impression that she will come to Christ or back to Christ. I don't know. But because somebody took the time to care. But the brokenness that we have is just devastating. It's killing us.
Yeah.
It's killing us.
And yet, there, you know, restoration is a possibility. Well, if you just tuned in today, I'm really glad you joined us. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Patrick Morley about his book, Man Alive, Transforming Your Seven Primal Needs into a Powerful Spiritual Life. It is Book Giveaway Wednesday, so not only do we have four copies of Patrick's book to give away, but compliments of Moody Publishers. I've got four Moody classics. Listen to them. John Bunyan's Pilgrim Progress, Andrew Murray's The True Vine, Spurgeon's All of Grace, and George Mueller's Answers to Prayer. Beautiful classics. Maybe you've got a question or comment regarding what's it like to be a man? What are your struggles? What would help you? We'd love to know. Or maybe as a woman, you've got questions. How can I support my man? 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. Otherwise, feel free to email me, Susie@faithradionet.com. Susie@faithradionet.com. Patrick, you know, every day I post a question related to the show's topic on Facebook. And my question today was, what is your heart's desire in prayer for the men in our midst? And do you know I had 30 posts, 30 women, and not one was a male bashing comment. They were all so heartfelt to love God with their heart, soul, and mind and strength, because if they do, they'll love women and children the way they love Christ, to grow in the wisdom and stature and favor of the Lord. One of them, you know, tweeted and said, to know that we love and appreciate and honor all that they do. And I mean, really, if you're a man and you're listening today and you want some direction but encouragement too, go to this Facebook page and read these 30 posts from these women. You could publish this as a book, really, to encourage men, I think. But I want you to say a word to that man right now, Patrick, who's worn down, exhausted, feeling unappreciated, and maybe even lukewarm in his faith.
Yeah, and unfortunately, that's going to be a lot of guys that are listening today. In fact, I've been meeting with men one-on-one for, you know, like 40 years, and I've met with thousands of men over coffee, breakfast, whatever, and when men try to put into words what they feel like is holding them back, what they feel like is keeping them from feeling fully alive, they invariably mention one or more of seven things. And so let me just mention those to you for the men and the women listening today. And just see if some of these resonate with you, because this book, Man Alive, what I do is basically I help flesh out these seven symptoms. The first one is, I just feel like I'm in this all alone, and so many guys feel like they're all by themselves, that nobody understands them. That's not true, men. Every man does have in some sense, a unique set of circumstances, but in another sense, all of the things that we go through are the same things that all men go through. I was not, I was not, I was in my 30s before I figured that out. So number one, I'm feel like I'm in this alone. Number two, I don't feel like God cares about me personally. Not really. You know, not what we say at church, but what I really feel like is I just don't feel like God cares about me. Number three, I don't feel like my life has a purpose. It feels random. Number four, I have these destructive behaviors that keep dragging me down. Can't seem to break the cycle. And my soul feels dry. I don't feel like my most important relationships are healthy. And then finally, I don't feel like I'm doing anything that will make a difference and leave the world a better place. These are the universals. And it's interesting, Susie, because they correspond to the seven primal God-given needs that that we talk about in the book. And so I spend a little time on the problem, but mostly what I spend the time on is, you know, what do we do about it?
Yeah. Yeah. I'd like to tackle one of them. I'm actually going to tackle a few of these throughout the show, but the one I want to jump at because I pulled quite a few notes out of it is the primal need to break free from the destructive behaviors that keep dragging me down. Say more about what that need is.
Well, most guys that I know have some ambition or some desire or some hope that they're hanging on to that competes with a full, total, complete surrender to Jesus Christ. And a lot of these are simply because we didn't grow up in a spiritual home, maybe, or maybe a divided home where there's divided loyalty between pursuing Christ and then pursuing some kind of worldly ambition. And a lot of Christian homes are like that, you know. The upshot of it is that a lot of men have these destructive behaviors. I know, for example, that for me, one of my biggest problems was that I did not, when I got married, I didn't know how to be a husband, and I didn't give my wife a voice for many years. And men, if that's your situation, you're going to lose her, even if she doesn't divorce you. And that's what happened to me. My wife decided that she didn't feel like it was safe, that I was a safe person to be with. So let me tell you what that looks like in practice, not giving your wife a voice or stifling her voice. If your wife feels like she doesn't have an honest say in major decisions, if she feels like her opinions are not valued, if she feels like you try to control her, or if you make major decisions without her input, then she likely feels that her voice doesn't matter. And those are just a few examples. So, and I would just say, too, if you've been doing this for a long time and you respond to God's grace today and repent of the sin, it's going to take you two or more years for her to trust you again, and there will be setbacks along the way. But, man, it's worth it. So start today.
It'll be good advice. And if you want to sweep your wife off her feet, give her a voice. Listen to what she says. Be present and hear her. I mean, boy, that is everything to us as women. I'd love to hear
And don't forget Mother's Day.
Hey, yeah. It's only a few days away, and the stores are open.
Anything counts as long as there's forethought. Last minute,
that's right.
Last minute doesn't cut it.
Yeah, a post-it note ain't going to cut it, guys. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. We've got Denise calling from Cedar Falls. Great question, Denise. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Yep, I'm reading it on the screen, so in case people are wondering what in the world I'm talking about, no. I'll let you go ahead and ask the question, Denise.
Okay, thanks. Just thinking about how to build up our husbands when our husbands are in leadership, and I feel like very blessed that my husband is a good leader, but how do I continue to build him up? Sometimes it's easy for me to think, well, he doesn't need any more encouragement. He's doing a fabulous job, and especially in the second half of life, so to speak, after we're 50.
Good question.
Yeah. Well, Denise, first of all, just being aware of the need probably is a big part of the solution. And so I would guess that you're probably already doing a lot of the things that I think are important for me as a leader. Number one, to know that my wife really does unconditionally support me in the things that God has called me to do. Now, in my case, my wife is actually not, she doesn't do ministry with me. Her callings are more like in the area of mercy, and she likes working with urban young teenage girls. So we really do go in different directions, but I know that she fully supports me, and she gives me verbal affirmations to that effect. And then every now and then she'll pull a command performance. You know, she'll show up to something with me. And that really gives me a great deal of encouragement. Also, I know that she's praying for me every day. And that, knowing that I have that kind of connection, the three-way connection between her and me and the Lord, gives me a great deal of confidence. So, you know, like I tell men, every day tell your kids, I love you and I'm proud of you. Every day tell your kids, I love you and I'm proud of you. There's some biblical precedent for that in the Transfiguration and the baptism of Jesus, when the Lord said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. In other words, I love him and I'm proud of him. And so I would say that also can work towards the husband, just letting the husband know, you know, I love you and I'm proud of you. So it's not only giving that unconditional support, but it's actually affirming him by letting him know that you're really proud of what he's doing. So, Denise, those are a few thoughts, and I just appreciate your heart.
I do, too. And, Denise, that's so beautiful, and probably one of the reasons he's a good leader is because you've got such a beautiful heart. You know, my hubby and I love to relentlessly banter each other, but we build each other up, too. But he's really under the gun right now with multiple jobs that he's bidding. And I could feel it. He was waking up at night, and the next morning, it was a few days ago, he's like, I feel so under it, so behind. And I stopped him and I said, but in all the ways that matter, hon, your world is in great working order. And I saw his whole countenance change. I mean, it was a game changer in the morning. And I thought, that takes so little to do. I don't always do it right, but I'm just saying, I noticed that went a long way with him. And it is true that the things that matter, he's doing. But it's so easy with the stuff you guys carry on your shoulders to get under it, isn't it?
Yeah. Hey, Susie, while you're talking about leaders, can I mention something?
Sure.
Man in the Mirror. Our organization, you know, we help churches to be more effective in discipling men. That's what we do. We only work with churches. And we're in the process of hiring 330 full-time area directors, one for every 1,000 churches in America. So every 1,000 churches, I don't know how many there are, like, say, in Minneapolis, St. Paul, but for every 1,000 churches, we're going to have a full-time area director to help churches. And so they're probably... is somebody listening who either would love a career in men's discipleship or knows somebody who might, and they can get more information about that at areadirectors.org, areadirectors.org.
Wow, yeah. That's a major undertaking. We'll bring that up again towards the end. We have a few minutes before break, so I'm going to take Francisco's question, but I may have to jump in and have you answered on the other side of the break. Francisco, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, Susie. I appreciate your show very much, and I thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely. What's your question, sir?
I have 40 years of a marriage, and I love my wife dearly, and I'm proud to say it. But I just don't feel the confidence to say I've arrived. I would like to have more support from men like the guests you have on your radio, and I would like to be more encouraged in that area. My wife is a wonderful woman. She's good looking. She's accomplished many goals in life, and I, on the other hand, don't plan very well, and we fit together very well just because, you know, we don't plan too many things. She plans them, and I accomplish a lot. we don't fight about that, but I would like to be more, you know, more my own man. And I got 12 grandchildren.
Wow.
And that is a legacy that I must leave behind. You know, if I've lasted 40 years with my wife, I like to show my grandkids how is it. But I must have better coaching myself. my dad left me when I was 2 years old, so I learned along the way, you know. A lot of hard knocks, and I still don't have the confidence of my wife. I know it. She says some things and make me feel good and stuff, but I need to feel, you know, deep inside that I'm doing the very best I can. Or whether I'm doing the very best I can, but I need more coaching.
Well, Francisco, first of all, Patrick, I'm going to have you answer him on the other side of the break. But I have to tell you, I like you. What a great man you are. Isn't he great?
that's fantastic.
Good, good man. And I, the desires of your heart are God's desires for you. So I know God has some answers. I know Patrick has some answers for you. So hang on, and you're going to get to hear what Patrick has to say. We have to go to break here in just a moment. Excuse me. I want to remind you, it is Book Giveaway Wednesday. So we've got four beautiful Moody classics to give away: Answers to Prayer by George Mueller, Spurgeon's All of Grace, Andrew Murray's The True Vine, and John Bunyan's The Pilgrim Progress, as well as a few copies left of Patrick's book, Man Alive, Transforming Your Seven Primal Needs into a Powerful Spiritual Life. We really want to challenge and encourage men today and invite you up to what God has for you. We're absolutely not here to beat you down saying you should do, you ought to. But you're called to. You're called to something so much more than you can even imagine. If you've got a question for our guest today, we would love to hear from you. Pretty much everybody who calls, I think, today will get a book. 877-933-2484. 877-93-FAITH. Otherwise, email Susie@faithradionet.com. And Francisco, Patrick's going to answer your question in about a minute and a half, so don't go away. Glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. A beautiful day across the upper Midwest, talking to our friend Patrick Morley about his book, Man Alive, Transforming Your Seven Primal Needs into a Powerful Spiritual Life. Really what we're talking about is encouraging men for you to be everything that God has called you to be, and women for us to really learn how it is we can support and bless and love them. And we can't change them. We can love them, and God can change them. But I want you to answer Francisco. Boy, he just won my heart over. How about you, Patrick?
Well, you can just tell he's a humble man who really wants to serve the Lord, mm. really wants to do the right thing.
Yeah.
And you know, that's been my experience with men in general. I mean, no man fails on purpose. No man woke up this morning and thought to himself, well, I wonder what I can do today to irritate my wife. Well, maybe a few did that, but not so many. Irritate my wife, neglect my kids, have a moral failure, work too much. No man is going to do that on purpose. And so what I've discovered, I think, Francisco, what would be very useful for you and any other man who has the same heart and really wants to lead a powerful life transformed by Jesus, first of all, is get this book. So, Susie, make sure he gets a Man Alive book. And if you don't have one, you know, get his name and address, and I'll send him one. But okay. Let's just make sure he gets that book. I don't believe in Christian literature because I write books. I write books because I believe in Christian literature. It's been amazing to me how often a man will get hold of a book, and then God will use the book to get hold of the man. And so Christian literature is very powerful. And then Francisco and anybody like him, to really become the man that God has created you to be in all the fullness of the new creation of being in Christ, I just don't know anybody who's been able to do that unless they are doing two things. Number one, that they're in the Word of God for themselves on a regular basis. And there's some new research that shows out that a man who is in the Word four times a week or more has a dramatically different impact on his life than guys who are reading, you know, once a week or something like that, or not at all. And then secondly, it's to be in a small group with some other guys doing life on life with a leader who has a vision to disciple men, not a fellowship group or just chatting about things, but doing, you know, getting into the Word of God, a discipleship small group where you have a leader who has a vision to do that. And then what I have seen, Francisco, is that you get a chance in these small groups to see how other guys really handle their life situations, not how they pretend they do to the world, but, you know, behind the curtain, how do they really handle their most pressing life situations? And then the sharing that takes place in a small group is fantastic. You will have a chance to share your heart. You shared your heart on the phone today. That's fantastic. But to be able to share it with some guys who actually get to know you over a longer period of time is really amazing and valuable. There are probably some other things that I could say, but those are certainly the most.
Those are excellent. And I do see a number of calls coming in, so be patient as Grace processes those calls. I've got a couple questions I want to ask, and I had an email come in as well. But I want to know, how often do men just settle into a defeatist attitude and say, you know, this is how guys are, or this is just the way I am, get used to it? How often do men settle into that? And I'm thinking underneath it all, they really don't want that to be the case, but they feel stuck themselves.
Yeah, there are many layers to this. The stat is, in my experience, that 90% of Christian men lead lukewarm, often defeated lives. And, of course, as I said before, they hate it. So we're talking about a major problem here. And I think a lot of it is that men are just sort of on the fringe. They either have one foot inside or one foot outside the door of the church, and they're not really fully engaged, and so they're not leading a powerful spiritual life that's been transformed by Jesus. Of course, that's why I wrote this book, Man Alive,
yeah,
to deal with exactly that. But
well, let me ask you this: did they dig their heels in when it comes to change? Often, because we try so hard to change them, you know, in reaction.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's so interesting. What I have, I've had at our Bible, I teach this Bible study that you mentioned at the top of the show on Friday mornings. And every week at the live Bible study for 26 years, we've had, on average, 4 visitors, and I always ask them the same question. I always ask them to share, you know, where are you on your spiritual journey today? Susie, guess how many men have refused or not answered that question in 26 years?
I don't know, 0?
0.
Wow.
Never,
that was a lucky guess.
I've never had a man not want to share where he is on his spiritual journey. If you set up a safe environment for a guy and you give him an opportunity to talk about his faith journey, they all want to talk about it. So this is something that's very, very much on the consciousness of guys. And so guys that don't want to be engaged, maybe who have made an idol out of something and they're just, you know, wanting to pursue the idol for a while, they'll do that until, you know, God sovereignly rearranges their circumstances and makes their lives so miserable that they end up turning to God of their own free will. You know how that works.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is that very few men in this 90% are actually so entrenched in it that they don't want to be different. Every now and then you meet somebody who says, you know, nah, I just kind of like it the way I am, but that has not been the vast majority of my experience.
Wow. Okay, as I said, a number of calls are coming in, and Grace, she's got a lot to process, so hang in there on hold if you would. Chrissy's calling from McFarland, Wisconsin, and she's got a question for you. Chrissy, welcome to the show.
Well, hi, thank you. I did want to make a comment that my husband and I will have been saved 6 years in July, and I've had the opportunity to really be discipled by some really godly women, and all of this resonates with me that men today in the church really need to be discipled by some godly, experienced men, and that is been my prayer for a long, long time. And I was just really excited when he was talking about the area directors, and that there would be an area director for 1,000 churches in the area, and that this could spread out further and further. I've just seen so many women, so many other women wives who have been praying for their husbands to get some solid discipleship, and I'm just very appreciative.
Mm. Want to comment, Patrick?
Yeah. Chrissy, it's so interesting that you'd say that you've been praying for your husbands, because for the 25 years that we've been doing this, I always say that I believe that the reason that our ministry was called into existence was because of the prayers of all those grandmothers, mothers, and wives who for decades have been praying for the men in their lives. And so I really do believe that is the reason that God has raised us up. So, you know, my first spiritual mentor, and Chrissy, you didn't say if your husband, I'd like to know, is your husband also in a discipleship situation?
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Is your husband also in discipleship? You mentioned that you are.
Yes, I've been discipled by some really godly women, but he just now has joined a group where he's being discipled by some really godly men. But it's been almost 6 years now that I've been praying for this, and God answers, you know, in his timing is beautiful. But he is starting to get some now.
Hmm. Oh, that's awesome. That's really good. That's really, really good. I remember my first spiritual mentor, Jim, and it was interesting because he saw something in me that I didn't see in myself. He allowed me to become part of his small group, and what really got me, Susie, was that he believed in me more than I believed in myself. And so he spoke these words of encouragement that I'd never heard before, and that released something inside me. You know, he gave me a vision to become the man that God created me to be, and so that released the power to become a man that I didn't even know was there, and I needed that so much. And Chrissy, that's what's going to happen to your husband if he's in a discipleship group with some godly men, is that he's going to find out there's a whole other side to him. He's going to become himself.
Yeah. You know, we really need to continue to pray for men across the nation, around the world, really, because there is something so impactful about one man calling another man up, even more so than a wife calling her husband up. You know, we can win them by our example. And, of course, we're going to say things sometimes, too, that will really make an impact. But, you know, we're having Jim Daly on tomorrow, actually. And we've had him on before. He's president of Focus on the Family. And he had, as a young man, had men, older men, speak into his life, saying, this is how a Christian acts, you know. And, you know, just those kind of words, I mean, in a loving way, can make a huge game-changing difference. Well, now Teresa is calling from Sioux Falls, and bless her heart, she was on hold for a while and then got disconnected somehow, so I want to get her on. We've got plenty of calls coming in. Teresa's calling from Sioux Falls. Welcome to the show, hon.
Thank you very much, Susie and Patrick. I'm excited to talk to you about this. You know, my husband and I, we realized about a year ago that we truly were not living for the Lord. We fell into the category of carnal Christians, and our eyes were opened, and I realized that I was not allowing my husband to lead our family as the Bible, you know, teaches us. And I just want to know, how can I support my husband to be stronger, to hand that role over to him and show him that I am learning truly the Lord's place for me in the family as his helper? Instead of trying to be the, what would you say, woman of today, that I can do it all, be it all, and don't need, you know, to listen.
Teresa, I appreciate that so much. And I want to piggyback Teresa's question with an email from Michelle. She says, how do I encourage my husband to take the lead? I feel I'm in that role. I make more money and handle the bills. How do I change course to get him in that role? And I think that's kind of what Teresa's saying. So if we could put those two questions together, thank you for asking that, Teresa, and God bless you. Patrick, go ahead and tackle that one.
Well, first of all, so we're getting into this area of the S word, okay, and submission, which seems to be anathema to people today. Here's what I would say. Submission is not silence, all right? Submission is understanding that God has put an authority structure into families so that they will function properly and work well, just like a business. I mean, a business has a CEO or a president or a managing partner, and there needs to be, you know, somebody who's providing that overall leadership. And but we know from the scriptures that, like David and other kings, when they were leading their people, Solomon, Rehoboam, their leadership depended upon their sensitivity to the needs of their people. And so this is like a two-way street. Being a strong spiritual leader means giving your wife a voice, like we were talking about earlier. It means investing into the children with not only money but also time, and also verbal and physical affection, like I was talking about at the top of the show. From the wife's standpoint, I do believe that if your husband believes that you're really for him, that you really believe in him, that will do more to release him as a man of God than almost anything. Susie, that little illustration you gave about how you encouraged your husband, I don't know if you actually know how powerful that is.
Mm.
I think you may, but that is the most extraordinary thing. And And so for a woman to offer words of encouragement and support to her husband that she really believes in him, really does pull out the best in a man. And then pray for him. Just you know, continue to lift him up in prayer.
God bless you. I really want this to be a place, and I think it is, where just like your heart, Patrick, where men can come and be encouraged, loved, blessed, mobilized, told the truth to, but all in a way that invites them up. And so I do love the tone of this, even with these precious women going, how can I better support? Jana is a pastor's wife. Isn't it great? Jana's a pastor's wife calling in from St. Paul. I'd love to hear what you have to say, Jana. God bless you.
Hi. Yes, I'm just calling to... I'm straight up the same alley as you've been talking about. My questions have been getting answered as I listened. But I was just looking for help in showing support and honor and help to my husband as we walk through a hard time, an aging church shrinking. You know, that everyone's getting older and more young people are leaving to the more hip-hop fun churches, and our church is getting older. And, you know, there's just so many difficulties that come along with that, and I think as I was a younger pastor's wife, I did a much better job of encouraging him, and now it's more difficult these days. So,
and it's a different stage, so you can sure see where it would be difficult. Patrick, what do you say?
Jana, first of all, I love you. I just I love pastor's wife. I love pastors particularly. And I really love pastor's wives. My daughter is a pastor's wife. And so, you know, I know the kinds of things that pastor's wives go through. And so, I mean, honestly, we all know that it hurts a lot more to watch somebody you love bleed than to bleed yourself, right? And so that's part of it. And so it sounds to me like your husband's bleeding in his ministry. And it's just a very tough season for him. And so, yeah, I mean, the encouragement, but there's, you know, there's really probably not much advice that you can give your husband, but you can just love him, just love him like crazy, and maybe draw him away from thinking about the problems and just to help him have some fun, and then also just encourage him to really make the Lord Jesus Christ the focus of his life. You know, absolute loyalty to Jesus Christ is the answer to everything. A full, total, complete surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ is really the answer to everything. Because these hard times come, these hard times also go. But when we give our lives wholly over to the Lord's will, even though they're tough, you know, we seem to get through. I mean, Moses spent 40 years in the wilderness, for crying out loud, and another 40 years back in the wilderness. So 80 years of his life, 80 years of his 120 years, were not that great. I mean, he did great things, but he's always dealing with people who are grumbling and wanted to get rid of him. And so it was a holy calling. And yet he found joy and peace, you know, because he was walking with the Lord.
You know, that's really great. Jana, my thought is just from one woman to another, it just seems that men, without even meaning to, their identity and value can be so connected to what they produce and if they're successful or not. And so my thought would be affirm his value and worth apart from, you know, because let's say the church just sort of, you know, dwindles down to a small group. That would be painful. But if he knows as he goes, as you were saying, Patrick, Jesus is everything, and you're my everything. I love you, and I see great worth in you. That value gets reaffirmed in him. That would be a great thing. You know, let's talk about how men are wired. In fact, one of your friends said to you, most of us guys are just one step away from stupid. I laughed out loud, and then I thought, you know, it is true for all of us, but girls are a step away from a different kind of stupid than men are. And Kristen from Scandia is just trying to figure out how men are wired. So she's got a question for you, and then I'm going to have you speak to it. Kristen, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you. I was thinking maybe I should say my age, but I am 62. I have never been married, and I have a boyfriend. I don't know. And I thought, is this a good book to get? So I don't think too much about differences between. But is this a good book for that?
It would. You have a boyfriend. Praise the Lord. That's great. I love it. God bless you. God bless him too. I hope it goes somewhere for you. I really do. You sound like you're in puppy love.
Mm, that's funny.
Yeah, no, I do think that this book would definitely, you know, help you see how guys are wired. Oh, I call these primal needs for men. Now, actually, everybody has these needs. I just take life principles and contextualize them for men, but I call them primal needs. And by that, I mean that as men, we have a raw, restless energy that's different from women, and it needs to be channeled, chiseled, and transformed. And so, yeah, I do think that you would be able to see how this man that you are falling for or have already fallen for, I can't tell, how he approaches his life's issues.
And he would benefit from it as well, because men do have father wounds, or they have insecurity issues. They cover it up in different ways, but we all deal with a lot of those same lies from that enemy. We only have a few minutes left. I'm talking to Patrick Morley about his book, Man Alive. I want to talk about, just revisit this thing where men get stuck. And I love Larry Crabb. I read a number of his books years ago, and I love that you quoted him in your book, and you say here, Larry Crabb wrote, "Biblical counseling must insist that the image of God is central to developing a solid view of personality, that our sinfulness, not how we've been sinned against, is our biggest problem, that forgiveness, not wholeness, is our greatest need, that repentance, not insight, is the dynamic of all real change." You know, and I've heard of people who become professional counselees, where they process their pain over and over again and never get anywhere. So I want you to talk about the importance of, part of getting unstuck is looking at ourselves in light of redemption, you know, humbly repenting, owning some of our stuff, and it's through that that we find freedom. Say a word about that.
Yeah, I've got a chapter in here called Break the Cycle, and it deals with that symptom that we talked about where guys feel like they just have these destructive behaviors that keep dragging them down. And so the chapter is all about how do you break the cycle, how do you break out of that. And it, one way of just summarizing it for me is that it boils down to a lifestyle of repentance. Mm. So for me now, this is well developed, but you know, you got to start where you are. But at the advanced stage, you will have a sensitivity if you work at this, and you can learn more about it in the chapter. But if you get to a place where you do lead a lifestyle of repentance, then what will happen is the Spirit of God will give you a sensitivity so that when you have a wrong thought, like it's a jealousy or an envy or a pride issue or a lust, the Spirit will make you aware of that, and then you can just right on the spot say, you know, Lord, I changed my mind. I repent of that sin, that temptation to sin, if you catch it soon enough, and I repent. Listeners, repent simply means to change your mind. That's all repent means. It's to go a different direction. And you can develop this as an acquired skill if you'll take some time with it.
Mm, so good. Well, you said in the book that there's a big difference between getting angry and possessing an angry spirit. And I appreciated that you addressed that in the book, because anger is an issue for a lot of men. And again, it might be buried stuff that's not been settled, and it comes out sideways and usually on the people that you love most. So first of all, make the distinction between an angry spirit and just being angry.
Well, unfortunately for myself, or actually fortunately, I was preparing a Bible study for our group on anger, and in Ecclesiastes it says, "Do not be easily provoked in your spirit." And it just clicked with me that there's a difference between becoming angry and having an angry spirit. And I realized, much to my own shame and a little embarrassed to tell you about it now, but not really, because I want to be an encouragement. I realized that for most of my adult life that I had always been angry. I was basically walking around with a volcano of anger inside of me, not really knowing where it was coming from, not knowing when it might erupt or even what might trigger it. And so I would have these, I would lose my temper. And over the sometimes the most stupid things. And so when my mother died, and I love my mother, but when she died, I didn't feel anything. And so I thought that was a little odd. So I went to a counselor, and I realized she helped me understand that I had, just to shorthand this, that I have a mother wound. And so the bottom line of all that is that I'd never processed that. And so I was carrying that around. And in five sessions, you know, I worked all through that, and that was the end of that. But then I realized that I had done quite a bit of damage to my wife and kids, and so I had to go to them and apologize, and everybody was, you know, more than gracious about it, because, you know, it's not like the world's worst problem that I had, but it was big enough that it was an issue. And so, guys, in the book, I show you, if you have an angry spirit, I just show you how you can deal with that destructive behavior that keeps dragging you down. You're going to either be a victim or a victor, and it's really, you know, your choice. You're talking, Susie, about people sort of wallowing in it or doing the same thing over and over again, and that's that victim mentality. You don't have to do that. You can be a victor.
Amen. Well, our time is almost up, but, you know, you include in the book a letter that you wrote to your kids asking for their forgiveness, and I'm thinking of someone listening today who needs to write a similar letter, maybe to his wife, maybe to parents, maybe to child. And where they finally realize, I got to stop blaming everybody else. I've got to own some of this because I really, really want to be free. Give some advice, just if you just take a minute, if you would, to that person who maybe needs to write that letter.
Yeah, just pour your heart out is the basic answer. And don't defend yourself. Just tell it like it is. I would say, use the letter that I wrote as a model or an example and adapt it. So you can learn more about all this at manaliebook.com. And hey, by the way, Susie, I've got this unbelievable video trailer of me driving my race car. It's only 75 seconds, but it's at manaliebook.com, and so people can go there and check that out.
Sounds good. Well, as we wrap up here, I'm wondering if you'd pray for that person, that man who's got the world on his shoulders and who really knows God's calling him into something more. Would you pray for him?
Father, I pray for all of the men who are at the breaking point or broken right now and are tired, so tired of leading that lukewarm, often defeated life. They hate it, and they want to be set free. They want to be a man alive. Father, I pray that you would deliver each of those men, and I pray that you would bring other men into their lives who would disciple them to lead powerful lives transformed by Christ. And that they would turn to you in full, total, complete surrender. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Patrick, thank you so much for your time today. We sure appreciate it.
All right, Susie. God bless everybody.
God bless. I'm going to leave you with a passage from Psalm 112. Listen to this. It's great. Happy is the man who fears the Lord, taking great delights in his commands. His descendants will be powerful in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Light shines in the darkness for the upright. He is gracious, compassionate, and righteous. Good will come to a man who lends generously and conducts his business fairly. He will never be shaken. The righteous man will be remembered forever. He'll not fear bad news, and his heart is confident, trusting in the Lord. His heart is assured, and he will not fear. And in the end, he will look in triumph on his foes. I pray today's show both challenged and encouraged you. Well, you've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. Give us a few minutes, and you can find the podcast up on our website, faithradionet.com. I want you to tune in tomorrow. I'll be talking with Focus on the Family President Jim Daly for the first half of the show, talking about his book, Stronger, Trading Brokenness for Unbreakable Strength. And then the second half, I'll be joined by a couple of girlfriends of mine, and we're going to just process how hardships can actually make us stronger and even more useful for kingdom work. Remember, every Wednesday, I write a blog, and today's post is all about, you know what, getting away from the noise of the world and worshiping God in a quiet heart. That's at SusieLarson.com. And finally, guess what? The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. And guess what? He's the one. He's the one who'll keep you strong to the end. Have a great afternoon.